Welcome back, Underground.
Hey, guys.
We are here. It's just the two of us.
I know, man. It's like I was about to sing.
I know. I was waiting on it.
I don't know, man. I just felt uncomfortable. I felt, kind of, you're dancing.
Well, because I hear it in my head, and I'm waiting on you to sing.
Okay. No, keep going. I'm about to. I'm just getting ready. Hold on. I'm about ready.
All right. Don't sing now. We've set up all that anticipation.
Just the two of us.
There it is.
All right. Hey, it is good to be here, Brian. I feel like we've just had like a really cool, encouraging series of hearing from normal humans. Are we still doing that? Is this a pause?
I don't know.
I don't think we are.
We'll always go back to telling stories.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to go back to like highlighting them here and there. But that was just a good chunk of like a bunch of good interviews. So if you didn't hear any of that, if you're just tuning in, which is not a phrase that works with podcasts. But if you are just tuning in, yeah, go check out some of those stories. Really encouraging stuff, everyday people. I think that's what makes what we're seeing in Kansas City fun, is that it's not just like the paid professionals. We're seeing real things, and the stories that are emerging are coming from mission and enduring and hardship. And what we're going to talk about today, prayer, lots of prayer.
Yeah, so in a few of these episodes recently, people have mentioned the missionary pathway. And we felt like, you know what, we should go back and do another series on the missionary pathway.
Yeah, that missionary pathway. Let's do that.
Maybe you're not familiar with the missionary pathway. Or maybe you're like a friend of mine one time was like, you guys keep doing that missionary pathway thing. And he said, I feel like I could teach it now. And I was like,
that's a win.
Yeah.
Look at
that's
that.
That's the point.
Yeah. Hey. That's the most encouraging thing I've heard all day, actually.
So we're not trying to come up with a bunch of new stuff. We're trying to lean into principles that we see in movements across the world and try to keep repeating those because we want to align ourselves with disciple-making movements globally.
That's right.
And this missionary pathway, we feel like, is a framework that really extends beyond context. So it's, again, a framework. We're not saying this works in the global south or this works in the west and you just have to do this just right and follow these simple instructions and boom, you'll see movement.
Right.
We're saying there are principles that have emerged from movements that we've identified. So the missionary pathway is really more descriptive of what we've seen throughout the world in the life of Jesus. And at some level, when something can be described over and over again, maybe there are certain prescriptive elements that we can identify to step into. Does that make sense?
Good I mean, it makes sense to me.
Okay.
I'm sure everyone else is totally lost, but no, it makes sense to me. I mean, I remember, you know, in the last decade, many times over when I was just trying to, like, be a student of these movements of God around the world, these church planting movements, these disciple making movements, the different phrases for viral disciples making disciples, churches making churches, take over a region of previously unreached areas. I mean, yada, 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 just so many cool things. And it's like every organization that was really pressing into movement principles, it seems like I kept coming across the same types of diagrams. I don't know how else to say it. Like they're saying, hey, this is what this looks like. You know, there's lots and lots of prayer. There's lots of engaging, you know, lostness and being good news and different, you know, streams would talk about different ways of presenting the gospel or inviting people to discover and asking questions. You know, and there was discipling through discovery Bible studies. There was new churches. There was multiplying leaders. And it was like over and over again, it was this cyclical reality. It's like, hey, this is present like everywhere, all these things. So at some point, we're just like, well, hey, yeah, let's not do something else. Like, yeah. And it's not, like, I love what you're saying. It's not a program to live into or even a set of programs.
Right.
It's a description of how the gospel moves. And within that, there are things that we lean into hard. There are tools that we lean into and train. And so that's where it's like, you know, it's confusing in the sense that it's like not just a prescription, go do this.
Right.
While at the same time, our missional rhythms are really set to the missionary pathway.
And when we say it is cross context or it doesn't
I hit the mic again. Every podcast, I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize anymore. It's like our theme song now. Is you can take the tools and you can contextualize them. You don't have to do them a specific way or in a specific order. And people have done that. Like we have, we've offered this to other networks who have said, hey, we love this, but we're going to change some of the language and the wording. And the definitions behind the words are pretty similar. We mean the same thing. We're just going to put a different word on it.
Yeah.
And you can add tools within each of the phases. And we're continuing to try to do that. In fact, we were just talking this morning before we started recording. One of the probably weak points, just admit it, is we don't have a ton of training around fasting.
Yeah.
And that's a point or a moment where we as a network go, okay, we should probably lean into creating some tools around that.
Right.
What can support everyday missionary leaders in their fasting practices?
Yeah.
So we wanted to slow down and do a series, at least five sort of short episodes around prayer and fasting. That's phase one, which will mostly be about prayer.
Yeah.
Phase two, live as a missionary. So what are the tools that we do in that? Phase three is gospel planting. Phase four, the microchurch emerges. And then phase five is multiplication. And we have a few weeks, thankfully, to think about what we'll talk about in that. So these won't be probably very long episodes. It's really more just a compact way to go. When people say, what do we mean by the missionary pathway? Well, there is a 7-week huddle. You can jump in the 7-week huddle. You can go to our website, find new huddles that might be starting soon. You can lead your own if you just go to missionarypathway.com and invite a few friends and begin to walk through that. But if you want like kind of the highlights, the quick rundown, the compact, send these podcasts to people.
Those are all great ways of saying it.
Yeah.
Good job.
Do you have any others?
You've exhausted them. That's great.
So five short episodes around the missionary pathway. We should just stop here and make this one really short episode. Intro. No, let's not do that. Okay.
We both looked at each other like, is that a good idea?
That's not a good idea. 6 minutes.
Well, let's jump into phase number one.
Phase one.
Extraordinary.
You know what? Before we get into that, though, you did say that
prayer.
You saw these things around the world. But,
yep.
Like, real quick, like, 90-second story. Where did you find it?
I mean, honestly, it was multiple different places, but I think you're referencing when I was in Africa. And so,
that's a large continent. You want to be more specific?
East Africa. Now, I was in partnership with our friends, a bunch of our, if you want to go back a year ago and you heard some stories of on-the-ground movement stuff in Kenya and other places in East Africa, but Kenya is kind of like the hub of a lot of that. Yeah, I'm sitting at this training at this Catalyst camp that a bunch of their leaders lead now. I mean, they've taken tons of people through this. You spend a week sitting in a lot of this stuff. And on the wall is just a bunch of pictures of essentially what we've redubbed with our own language, the missionary pathway. And it's starting with extraordinary prayer and fasting. And I forget the language. It was, you know, engaging or something, engaging people. And then it was, I think their thing was Discovery Bible Studies was next. New gatherings. And then send out new teams, I think is what was on the wall. So there it is. I'm sitting there on the wall, and it's like, and again, I've gone through a bunch of other organizations seeing similar things, but it was like, yep, there it is. It's like, that's how we see it. It resonates with the book of Acts.
And I think it's before that as well. And that's one of the things I hope we'll hit on the next 4 weeks, including this week, is it's also, we see it played out in the life of Jesus.
Mm. Yeah.
So the early churches still doing what Jesus was doing, and we want to do those things, which I think that's always been compelling to me. We see this in global movements, but we also see Jesus following and living into these rhythms as well. So they're grounded in scripture, grounded in the life of Jesus, and we want to pull them out. And last thing I'll say, then we'll get into prayer, is when you think about the missionary pathway, think about it like a journey or a map. It doesn't have to be linear,
mm-hmm.
but often it definitely begins with prayer.
Yeah.
That one. That one precedes everything. But the rest is like, I mean, it is linear and it's not. You can kind of jump around. But also, we would say, because we use these circles. You can't see my hands, but I'm making a circle.
His hand is making a circle. Okay. they're tracking. Go.
Okay. So it's like a map, one point to the next point. There's a journey.
Yeah, he's going from circle to circle around in a bigger circle. Okay, keep going. You're good.
But if you turned it.
It's turning his hand.
Okay.
Circle is moving.
Yeah, so now it's kind of like a 3D object, and we're looking down into some buckets.
Whoa. okay, I'm lost. This is good, though. Keep going. This is
you see what I'm saying?
It's good. Yeah, it's really good. He's, now he's looking down at his hand from
that is also a
bird's
circle.
Eye view. That's a circle.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like good. We're looking into the bucket of prayer and fasting.
Whoa.
And in each of the buckets, there's tools and resources.
It's good.
You like that?
I like that. Like I think of it like the Google Maps.
Yeah.
It's like we'll click on, we'll keep zooming in, and it keeps like
getting close.
Yeah, I like that. That's good, man. The bucket thing is good. So in this bucket. So today we're going to talk about the bucket and some things in the bucket.
Yeah, you seriously not heard me say that yet?
No.
Oh wow.
We haven't hung out a lot lately.
We need to do that more.
We should. Okay. So stop number one. Bucket number one. Extraordinary prayer and fasting.
The beginning of the journey.
The beginning.
Prayer precedes movement.
Yeah. And this is something we've talked a lot about where in the West, we give that a lot of lip service, but what does that actually mean? And so as we're talking about, you know, this journey looking like the book of Acts, having that feel where it's like, hey, this actually feels like what I'm reading in scripture, which more and more, if you hear people's like struggles with even their American church experience is like, that's where it's like, that's the difference. I see the book of Acts, I see my experience and things aren't lining up. And I just wanted to jump to Acts 13. A lot of examples, and I'm sure you've got, I see a page full of notes about Jesus's prayer life.
I do have a page of notes.
Which is, hey, that's actually pretty solid. We should talk about what Jesus
did a
lot. We will
talk about what Jesus did.
But I want to also, look at Acts 13. So this is, you know, about midway through the story of the book of Acts, and things have now, the kind of the center of Christianity has transitioned, right, from Jerusalem to now in Antioch. And as Brian's turning the pages to get there to Acts 13, it says, in the church at Antioch, verse 1, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, and then lists a bunch of people. And that's good stuff. We're going to skip through it. Then verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting.
Were you afraid to say their names?
I just, you know, I didn't know. Is it Menane who's been brought up with Herod? I just don't remember. All right. So I didn't have time to Google how to pronounce Menane. That name. By the way, that's what all pastors do. It's like they don't just know how to pronounce these names. They have to look it up too. Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Brian, in a sentence or two, what does that tell us about mission, about prayer and fasting?
Well, they did it.
Uh-huh. Good. Period. And okay, you have another sentence.
They obeyed what the Spirit said.
Yeah. That's good.
Sorry.
That's good stuff.
Well, I wasn't prepared for that like transition.
It's like the ability you have just to think on your toes.
Just,
you know, it's just it's inspiring. No, man. So I mean, for me, I would say the summary sentence of that is that prayer and fasting, what you said, precedes mission. It precedes disciple making. It precedes the expansion of the gospel, is that they were sent off because they heard from God, right? And they were sent off in the power of the Spirit through prayer and fasting as commissioned missionaries, right? And then as we're looking through the continued picture of the expansion of the church, how ordinary people really are the ones who take the message of God to their people and places. And even Jesus saying, as the Father sent me, I have sent you. There is this continued just motif in scripture of sentness. And so actually hearing from God directly, being sent out as empowered people through the Holy Spirit to go be missionaries and agents of reconciliation, that does not start from our own place of power. It starts from a place of prayer and worship.
Well, I think we know that, you know, they're living into rhythms that they'd grown up doing. So this is a part of their heritage and their culture at some level. But they also weren't out doing something before they spent this time in prayer and fasting. I realize I'm stating the obvious, but like they're choosing as a community to do these things. One day they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. So there's this space where they've created to do this, to sit and listen, right? And one of the things that I always highlight with this passage is not that they just were worshiping, they were praying, fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, appoint them for the special work. You could jump down to verse 4, so Barnabas and Saul were sent out. But verse 3 to me is really important. So after more fasting and prayer,
Yeah.
The men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Like, there was even the space of, yeah. I mean, I think we feel pretty good about what the Lord said. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure we heard the Spirit say this, but just in case.
More than Acts 1 after they did it, and then they cast lots.
Yeah.
We're almost going to use that passage, and then we like that. And then they cast lots. That's good. I mean.
Yeah, we don't want to encourage this one. We're not really sure how that happens. We don't have a training tool on casting lots.
But maybe that's a gap. We'll step into that.
Create a tool.
We identify those gaps.
Get some weighted dice. sorry. Don't do that. We'll cut that. Yeah, so I love this passage, though, because when we do some training around this, around the paradigm of hierarchical structures versus ordinary mm-hmm. people and sending them, always go back to the Old Testament and go through these Exodus passages, where in Exodus, every chapter almost begins with, and God said to Moses, and God said to Moses, and then Moses does this thing, God said to Moses, and occasionally there's this God said to Moses and Aaron. And in that, you feel this like there's someone else that's hearing from God telling us what to go do. Mm-hmm. But then the contrast is you have multiple times through the book of Acts mm-hmm. where you have the people of God together hearing yeah. and confirming with each other. And then they're responding in obedience to what good. They're hearing.
The role of the priesthood of all believers, yeah. usually we keep that within the role of like the conversation of salvation right. and justification. But man, it's like, what's the role of the priest? Where we actually have I don't want to say ability, but just the role, the opportunity to hear directly from God and what he's doing. And I want to contrast that to maybe, what's the first thing in an American context we tend to do? If it's a church or whatever, it's like, we're going to go get it done, right? Mm-hmm. We've got this idea, we've got this vision, we got this whatever. And it's like, no, now we're going to go get it. And even this past week, we were talking with another friend who's in another city that's working on an initiative, and that's pretty similar to something that we're running with here. And I was just calling and asking him, and he ended it saying, you know what? Before all this, this is the best thing you can do. Pray. Seek God. Like, it was not a get this vision and this strategy and get it all the perfect lined up. It's like, just seek God's face. Like, seek God's face. Like, wouldn't it really be a better strategy to actually go where God is already going? It flips a lot of what we try to do upside down, you know?
Yeah, to push that a little further, what you're saying is like, we want to go accomplish some strategy, and then we go, God, will you bless this?
Yeah, totally.
As we move into this, will you bless this, whatever. I was about to say this building campaign. I was like, that's mean. And then I said it anyway. But will you bless this mission? We've decided we're going to go do this like mission trip over here. Bless it, you know?
Or even my neighborhood. Like, I feel like I want to reach my neighborhood. Bless what I'm about to do, whatever. It's like, let's actually hear from God what he's already up to.
And that goes back to this passage that we're highlighting with Paul and Barnabas and those other teachers and prophets that are there. Is they're worshiping and praying. They're not asking, where do we go? What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
They're in this, which is one of the things that we'll highlight in a minute as we talk about tools and our rhythms, is there is this space where listening prayer must precede missional prayer.
Yeah.
Listening prayer must precede tactical prayer. If we're responding out of reaction, like, you know, God, do this thing, that's not the right phrase. But it goes back to that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if we're responding with, God, bless this thing I'm going into, we've missed
Take your time. it's just you and me here. All right.
You got to back up. You're like making that
I'm
thing.
I'm sorry. What?
You don't hear that distortion?
No, I do. I was leaning in too much. Okay, so
my point is, though, sorry, I will finish it now.
It's okay.
There is a model that we have. We need to respond to that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, so maybe we press into this for the rest of the time, and this goes back to things that, excuse me, puberty has been brutal. This goes back to what Bill Randall in interviews in the past has done. It's my favorite quote that I've stolen from Bill or Lee Price. I don't remember who said it originally, and then we had this conversation already, and I've already misquoted the third time. But the mission of God is found at the intersection of listening prayer and contending prayer.
Mm-hmm.
The mission of God is found at the intersection of listening prayer and contending prayer. So that's I think we'll lean into those two avenues right now for the rest of this podcast too, of like, what is it when we say listening prayer an abiding prayer, like kind of like what we're seeing in Acts 13. Like, what does that look like? And is there a tool or two that we tend to lean towards to help people sit in that? And then we talk about contending prayer. That's like doing battle type of prayer. That's like, you know, putting our armor on and not just being passive, but praying with the priestly role of, you know, the doing battle in the heavenly realms type of posture.
We want to see the kingdom come.
Right. This is the kingdom come type of prayers are not weak, you know? So it's that beautiful, balance is even the right word, but both of those things, we're abiding, we're resting, we're hearing, but we're also doing battle, we're contending, we're praying kingdom come prayer. At the intersection of those two things is the mission of God. And so, Brian, as we lean into the listening piece of that, we actually go back to your point. It's like, let's go, what did Jesus do? Like, what are the rhythms of Jesus in his life? And I just want you to pick up that paper you have and just read it. That sounds really compelling.
Yeah, well, it is. I was doing some research before we started, like, where does Jesus pray? How many times does he pray? And I was just going to read the different websites or whatever, and I was like, no, I want to, like, spend the time writing this down, and just all the different places. And I say that often when I'm trying to, like, walk people through the missionary pathway real quick. I'll go, where was Jesus if you couldn't find him? Off praying somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, you see that multiple times. Where's Jesus? He's off praying. He's been doing it all night, you know. So these were some of the things that were listed, and I'll highlight some of the listening. But, like, at his baptism, there's prayer. In the morning after this night of healing, before they head to Galilee, there's prayer. After healing a bunch of people, he prays. Before the choosing of the 12, and this is one that I think is important in light of listening prayer.
Yeah.
Before he chooses the 12, he spends all night in prayer.
Mm.
So, like, he can't be talking the whole time.
Mm.
You know, like, he doesn't come down and, like, you know, say, I prayed for these 12 only. It's like he was listening for the Father to help him highlight, these are the 12 to call.
Yeah, that's good.
Speaking to the Jewish leaders before the feeding of the 5,000, before he walks on water, he had drawn away to pray while the disciples go out. Healing a deaf and mute man, he prayed. Feeding of the 4,000, he prayed. Before Peter calls him the Christ, he was praying. At the Transfiguration, he's praying. Return of the 70, he's praying. Before he taught them the Lord's Prayer, he was praying. The raising of Lazarus, the praying for little children, asking the Father to glorify his name, the Lord's Supper. He prays for Peter's faith when Satan is going to sift him. John 17, he prays for himself. He prays for the disciples. He prays for the world. In Gethsemane, he's praying. On the cross, he's praying. Right before he dies on the cross, he's praying. On the road to Emmaus, when he gets there and they're breaking the bread, he's praying. And then he blesses the disciples before he leaves. And there's some other passages, too, just that, you know, like the Spirit is contending for us before the Father, like interceding on behalf of us. Like, there is this, even within the Trinity, there's this, like, ongoing, constant prayer, right? And so you see this all through the life of Jesus, that he is just constantly in prayer. But I just want to go back to that one on the 12, because that's a space where he is praying that whole night. Like, Father, I need to know what I do. And you can, just to go back to the prayer precedes mission, I assume in that space, like, he's already been doing some ministry work. People are following him. But it's like when he solidifies that 12, there's kind of this new level of like, all right, guys,
game on.
You're the 12 that for the next 3 years or so I'm investing my life into to see multiplication. So,
man, that's even in the life of Jesus, we're seeing intercession. We're seeing a variety of ways of prayer, but we're seeing those two avenues of listening prayer and combative prayer. I mean, prayers of healing, prayers of kingdom come, you know, prayers of raising from the dead,
multiply,
you know,
like, these two fish.
Yeah, I mean, that is miraculous. That is like, like power.
Is it two fish?
Yeah, I mean,
now I'm confused.
Five loaves, two fish.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I got
you're
nervous.
Good. We just did that in our house church this past, you know, our micro church this past week, and so the kids drew pictures. So I have the mental picture of
two fish,
the bread. And now I'm doubting it. I'm like, yeah, I think that's right. But yeah, so I mean, you're seeing in the life of Jesus the listening prayer piece means even before choosing the teammates, choosing the disciples that really catalyzed his entire strategy, which is investing in the few to reach the many, right?
Yeah,
isn't that crazy? Isn't it also crazy to think that Judas was a part of that?
Yeah,
That's a different, we could go down that route differently.
Yeah, that's a longer podcast.
That is a much, and we will never come to a great conclusion probably. We'll hear great ideas. But the fact that listening prayer, the team is formed, but then yeah, all the things that God did in power. So what are some of the ways that we talk about listening prayer, you know, abiding prayer in our network? Maybe a tool or two that tends to come up in trainings.
Yeah, I want to list several actually.
Yeah.
And okay, also
a tool or a seven, whatever. Go with
what that. If we talk about all of our rhythms as a network?
Cool.
So I'll start with a listening prayer one, as we do have a guided listening prayer practice on our kcunderground.org/resources. Scroll to the bottom. You'll see a guided listening prayer there. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, like, when you look into the bucket, if you...
Yep. Okay, so he's looking into a bucket from a bird's eye view. Okay.
We have a bunch of resources, but we also have rhythms. So rhythms and resources. Look at those.
Ooh,
two
R's. Good.
We
yeah.
should do that. Yeah. We should pay attention to that.
Rhythms and resources. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just started listing the resources that we have. Prayer circles. So this is a simple tool that we have, where if you imagine three circles, I don't have another hand.
Here, hold on.
There we go.
There you go. I got you.
We talk about listening prayer, missional prayer, and tactical prayer mm-hmm. in this tool. And most of us spend most of our life in tactical prayer, but Jesus spends the least amount there. Mm-hmm. Listening prayer is really like the biggest. Missional prayer would be second, tactical prayer. So it's a disciple-making tool about how we teach people to pray. There's the blessed five prayer. So who are the five that I'm praying specifically for? And then a way to bless them in that prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer of examine. This is a listening type of prayer where it's an ancient practice of the church. I'm able to go back, look through my day, look for the ways I joined Jesus, look for the ways that I missed Jesus, look for the ways that I could join Jesus in the next day ahead. Contemplative prayer. So how do we spend time in contemplative prayer? Authoritative blessing prayer. Blessing prayer walk. So these are all tools that we have listed somewhere that we've created a resource around. Exegetical prayer walk. We do have a tool in fasting that Timmy created. Mm-hmm. We need to make that more robust. Bless Every Home is a website you can sign up for that'll send you five new neighbors to pray for every day. You can be specific around their names. Again, equipping in those exegetical prayer walking. So I'm beginning to understand how I see the neighborhood in which I live or the network of relationships and pray specifically for broken places. So those are a bunch of the resources. What would you say are rhythms of the network?
Yeah. No, thank you for throwing that out back to me.
Tuesdays.
Okay. And then also Mondays and Tuesdays.
And Wednesdays.
And Wednesdays.
Yeah, talk about that.
Yeah, so Tuesdays, if you guys ever get an email from us in the underground world.
You can go to kcunderground.org, scroll to the bottom of the front page, sign up for the newsletter, and you'll also get the prayer guide every Tuesday.
Yeah, they'll get the prayer guide on Tuesdays. Yeah, and so you'll get a prayer guide on Tuesdays, and so that is a part of our rhythm as a network from kind of earliest on. It's like this is our way that as an entire network, we can partner with one another in prayer and fasting. So we actually have kind of these weekly prayer, what's the word I'm looking for?
Guide.
Let's just say
a prayer guide.
It's a prayer guide, and it'll help you. It'll guide you in prayer. So that's something that unites us, and it's every Tuesday we have that.
Part of the reason we do that is that it takes our prayers, we would say, from being like flashlight to laser. If you're violent like Corey, it's a shotgun to a rifle.
Yeah, I was going to say, you changed that from sniper rifle language.
But if when we say that, it's like we're not just all praying from different things and different networks, but like we're choosing to join all of our voices together to pray for, like specifically together around this chapter from Ephesians. Or we're specifically praying around, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones that were recent. Anyway.
Yeah, that's good.
We're all praying together about the same thing.
Sniper prayers. I just did it. I made it violent. So that's a rhythm we have as the entire network. And then I'll say tons of different teams and individual missionaries will have their own rhythms. A lot of prayer walking. Did we talk? Yeah, you had a couple different prayer walking tools. That comes up a lot. But also just Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesday morning, 6:30, prayer.
KCprayer.com.
KCprayer.com. And those are, it's like a, it's an always open Zoom room basically for prayer in the network. So those are just a couple rhythms that we have. But the tools, it's funny because it's like part of me is like, man, we have so many tools. You talk about 1,000 tools. Do you ever do any? Here's what we have found. People pray in different ways. They lean in different ways. Like there are some prayer tools and habits that are so rich for some and not for others. And so we just like, okay, we have one thing that we do in case the other guys, we're kind of like resource maniacs and we love to be able to help people within coaching relationships, help you thrive both in your personal walk with the Lord, but also in your disciple making journey. So that's where, you know, a lot of these rhythms and resources come in. There's resources there's plenty of them, but man, there's probably one or two that you may lean into a lot.
Another rhythm that I would highlight that I think is important is our ops teams. Everyone that I've been a part of all begin in prayer.
Mm. Like the hub teams?
Yeah. And they're not, it's not a, you know, we're going to toss up some prayers and just make sure that, you know, God help us right now as we meet. Amen.
Yep.
Like, I mean, I would say there's like specific times of just quiet. Mm-hmm. That I've never been a part of in staff meetings before, where it's like, all right, we'll get a few people to pray. Somebody dial it up. Somebody hang it up. Like we just sit and listen. And even in our early morning prayer times, there is this space where it's like, you know, is there a word or a passage that would guide our prayer? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll just sit there for a few minutes and listen before we begin praying. And oftentimes the Spirit will highlight, like, this is coming up. Someone else affirms that. Let's pray in that direction.
Yeah.
So we're not just trying to follow a rhythm that is comfortable for us, but we're trying to lean into Spirit. We want to listen to you.
Yeah, it's really good. And I would say if there's one tool that you come across all around the world that really encompasses a lot of the other practices, it's prayer walking. So we actually, I mean, Brian Dolliner, just we talked about prayer walking a few weeks ago. So you can scroll down and check that out. There are so many teams and individuals throughout the city prayer walking, because as you're walking the space, you're listening, you're hearing from what he's already up to, you're declaring, you're blessing the space, you're engaging in spiritual battle, right? There's so much going on, and you're also having opportunities to meet people, right? Discover potential persons of peace, discover how you can be good news to an area. So if you're just looking for one practice, maybe. I mean, there's so many good ones, so I don't know why I'm drawn to that one, because it encompasses so much. Lean into prayer walking. So important. So, we probably have other places to go. Do we want to dive into more of the missional prayer stuff, or we're good?
I think this is the purpose, was to just hit high level. Yeah. Like, we have a lot of resources. We have rhythms. This is the beginning point. We say it over and over again. If you don't know where to begin, begin in prayer.
And wait in prayer. Does that make sense? Like, sometimes we're eager to get going and get started, and the best thing you can do is pause and wait and hear from God. That does not mean that it leads you to inaction.
Right.
But what it does is
it is action in itself.
And it's like, do we actually believe that? Mm-hmm. On a personal note, I got to do sabbatical last year. I don't know if I've mentioned that. They make fun of me because I talk about sabbatical, because it was a very healing time in my life over a year ago. But one of the very practical things that God has asked me to do, and I'm still in the season, is to take one of my most productive days and not be productive, quote unquote, you know, and to spend it in prayer, and to do some other things that are not just like being productive. And that's not easy for someone who's like an Enneagram 3. But it was like, for me, I continue going back to, if I actually believe the most of the work in disciple making is done in the heavenlies and done through prayer and done, you know, it's not by me, then I got to put my money where my mouth is, right? And so if you are someone who's leaning into all the other places of the missionary pathway and you're frustrated because you're not seeing fruit, lean harder into prayer and fasting. This is His story, not our story.
Yeah, it's the place we began and we never leave it. It's the place we return to over and over again. So, we were talking before we started, just to say what we thought was going to be a short episode that did not turn out to be so short.
Yeah, but next week will be shorter, right?
Maybe.
Doubt
we'll see.
Yeah.
The point is, we wanted these to be kind of outcome focused. And we want to encourage you, as we often do now, is just to take a pause before you move on to the next part of your day and think through, what is a commitment, a new commitment, a renewed commitment mm-hmm. I can make to prayer and fasting? It might be, I'm going to join in on one of those early morning prayer times from 6:30 to 7. Monday morning's about gospel saturation in the city. Tuesday's about internationals.
Yeah, focusing on internationals.
Wednesday is about students in the city.
And then there's some others throughout that use that mm-hmm. link, maybe some other hubs. So, yeah, if you hop on at random time and there's a group of people praying,
join in.
I think you could probably join in. Maybe, or they'll kick you off.
Step one is just to begin praying with that. Maybe another idea is kcunderground.org/resources. I'm going to go check out one of these prayer tools. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Spirit is saying, invite your microchurch into a deeper rhythm of prayer.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, I'm going to go explore fasting because the underground isn't equipping me in this right now.
We do have some good early podcasts about fasting.
We do. Anything else? Like, I don't want to spark too many ideas because I want you to listen to the Spirit.
No, I mean, I think that's good. It's like, do something with this. Like, respond in some capacity. Maybe it's talking to, if you're a missionary within the underground and you have a coach, you know, you talk with your coach about, this is our plan for prayer. On my personal plan for prayer. So I think that's really good, man. And then in moving forward, I don't want to throw this to, I think our website's actually going to be, a lot of our tools are going to be organized within missionary pathway buckets. Is that true?
Potentially.
I think that's true.
Yeah. Well, we're exploring the ways to do the website better.
Okay.
And we're continuing to put all of our tools up there.
So, I mean, we're basically trying to have a resource library that's a little bit more easily accessible. There's a large animal outside the window. ADD. So yeah, so do something with this. Appreciate you guys tuning in. And it's not tuning. What am I talking about?
They're listening. Pass it on, though. Maybe somebody else you've been having a conversation with is like talking about prayer. Like, send this podcast on.
Yeah, it's like we got two guys we listen to on the radio.
They caught me off guard.
A big raccoon. I can see it from here. It's on the other side of the tree. You can't see it. All right, peace and love. Da-da-da-da-dun.
Thanks for listening to the Underground Podcast. We hope that it's either been an encouragement to you or that it's created a curiosity about what it means to live into a missionary mindset with an aim to make disciples and see the church emerge. If you're a missionary or a microchurch in Kansas City and you're looking for coaching or just belonging within a network, we'd love to connect with you so we can learn about what you are doing and how you are joining Jesus for gospel saturation in this city. If you're outside the Kansas City area and have questions about what it would mean to catalyze a disciple-making movement that leads to the emergence of microchurches in every network within your city, we'd love to connect with you as well and offer whatever resources might be helpful to you. You can find out more at kcunderground.com. Grace and peace, friends.